we do not what? Don't lose heart. Whatever you do, guard your heart. Because those little things that nag you are going to cause your heart to clog up if you're not careful. You see, what enters your head isn't what concerns God the most, is what you let enter your heart. When someone says, oh man, that's it, that really got to me. Ah, it didn't just enter your head, did it? It just entered your heart.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We all go through difficult seasons of life, health concerns, financial setbacks, relationship issues, and it leaves you feeling all bruised and banged up. Well, today, Pastor Wayne says, don't lose heart. God has a wonderful plan in store. And these cuts and bruises are all just part of the process. Here he is with a message entitled, Cuts and Bruises.
Welcome, everyone, to a fun new beginning of a series called God's Home Remedies. And we want to welcome those of you that are streaming and our campuses over in Hawaii Kai and Manoa. And we're all doing this together, and we're very excited about it. We're going to talk about cuts and bruises. But before I do, we want to find out, does God have any purpose in us having to go through these things? Is it just immaturity? Well, especially with these three, yes. But what are some of the reasons why God allows us to go through all of these things? Well, you know, in the book of Exodus, I often wondered, why did God have the children of Israel go the long way around to the promised land when he could have had them go right up the Mediterranean, would have been there in 1/10 of the time? I was reading, listen to this. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the ocean's shore, for that was the way of the Philistines, even though it was near. God said, I'm not going to lead them that way, lest the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. God's going to take us a different route sometimes because he knows we're not ready for war. We're not ready for the big things if we are not able to handle cuts and bruises in our own homes. Let me start with a story. Story is of a man who is going in and out of a coma for the last few months, and his wife is faithfully right by his side. Well, he finally becomes lucid just for a moment, and he motions his wife over. His eyes well up with tears, and he said, honey, I just realized something. She said, what? He says, you know, you've been with me through all the tough times. In fact, when I got fired, you were right there. And then when I tried to build my own business and it failed, you were right there. Even when I went through an accident, you were right there. And now that I'm having health issues and I'm about to die, you're right here. He says, you know what I'm realizing? She says, no, honey, what? He said, I think you're bad luck. Cuts and bruises, how do you handle that? Well, every one of us will have times where each of us will go through these things. You'll be criticized, you'll be marginalized, you'll be condemned and blamed. Now, it could be just something being misperceived, or it could be something blown out of proportion, or it could be getting wrong information about you and people pass it on as truth. And it'll cut you and it'll scrape you like barbed wire, but you'll have to go through all of that. Wrong information. I remember the story of this little boy. He was 4 or 5, and he went up to his grandfather and he said, Grandpa, how old are you? And Grandpa said, you know, I really can't remember, actually. The little boy said, well, you have to look at your underwear. The grandpa said, what? He said, yeah, the back of mine says 4 to 6. Wrong information. I sort of like that principle because I have been 32 to 34 since college. Sometimes we think that success is determined by lesser amounts of criticisms and stones being thrown at you. And if we're just nice to everybody, we won't have to worry about that. But funny thing is, I'm realizing that success in life is not determined by how many stones get thrown at you, but what you do with those stones that get thrown at you. That's the ingredients for success. But it all starts with scrapes, bruises, little cuts. Often I found people are able to, like business people, overcome great obstacles in business, and yet they'll fail when it comes to something very insignificant and trivial at home. And it destroys something of far greater worth than something here in the corporate world. Small things. We seem to be able to scale the highest heights, and yet we die on the smallest hills. Some time ago, I was on a flight to Los Angeles, and there beside me was I found out to be a very successful CEO of a very, very prominent corporation. And in the course of our talking, I found out that in building this very successful corporation, he had to navigate some pretty big physical and financial setbacks. Well, as we were talking, he found out that I was a pastor, and I asked him, "Do you go to church?" He said, "Oh, I used to, but I don't anymore." I said, "Oh, tell me why." And then he began to tell me this situation. He said, "Well, you know, I used to go to this church, and I used to park at a certain parking space that was right near the main auditorium. And one day they reconfigured the parking lot. I pulled in on the weekend service, and the usher said I couldn't park there anymore." I said to him, "I always park here, and I'm a big giver at this church." The usher said, "Well, we're grateful for that, sir, but you can't park here. You see, we've made these handicap stalls." He said, "It doesn't matter. I'm going to park over here." And the usher said, "Sorry, sir, you can't." This man got so mad, he got in his car, drove off, and has never returned since. And I thought, wait a minute. This successful CEO that overcomes huge financial obstacles, huge physical setbacks, builds a great corporation, and then allows an insignificant thing to keep him from getting to know God more. Isn't that interesting? It's not the big things that really mess us up a lot of times. It's the small. And we let it get infected. We let it go. We delay dealing with it, and it gets worse and worse, more septic and more toxic. It's the small things. I look at people now in broken families or split churches, and I find out that those things could have been easily remedied with God. So we want to talk about cuts and bruises. In researching some of these who have overcome great obstacles, yet only to fall prey to small things, I was researching some people who were in that category, and I found three amazingly interesting names. The first is a man named James Crutch. James Crutch was one of the few survivors of the Titanic. The Titanic in 1912 sunk as it left Southampton, England on its way to New York. It hit an iceberg. 2,200 people were aboard that ship. 1,500 perished in the icy ocean of the Atlantic. But of the few that were rescued, one was James Crutch, narrowly escaped death. Several years later, he joined the Navy, and when he was on the USS Lusitania, his boat was torpedoed by a German sub. Again, he's at sea, and he survives again a second time, narrowly escapes death. So you'd wonder, how did he die? Was it from a torpedo, a bomb, some mishap in the Army or the Navy? No, this is how he died. It was in his backyard. He was crossing his creek, and he slipped on a rock, hit his head, and drowned in about 7 inches of water. Another name that's almost similar to this whole story is a man named James Berkeley. James Berkeley was known as one of the prominent and premier safari hunters that would bag these huge, ferocious lions and tigers and all of these crazy, huge animals, big game, and till he had a museum larger than this auditorium, of all the things that he had done in Africa and all the big game animal that he had shot. You'd think he would have died being mauled by a lion. But it was another cat. It was his barnyard cat in the backyard. He got scratched by his own cat and figured it wasn't that big of a deal, but a year later died of blood poisoning. The third, his name is Charles Blondin. You may have heard of him. He's a famous tightrope walker. He's the one that stretched a cable between the U.S. border and the Canadian border straight over the Niagara Falls and would walk across. And to show everyone the precision of his balance, he actually would get a wheelbarrow filled with sand and he would push that across. You'd say, well, how did he die? Did he die from a fall from a tightrope? No. In actuality, he went into his kitchen. He slipped on his doormat, fractured his leg, and from compound fracture and the bone getting infected, he died of complications a year and a half later from tripping on his doormat. Now you think about these amazing stories of people who have overcome huge obstacles only to be defeated by something very small. But then I wonder about us. How many of our relationships have been broken because of some minor and often foolish problem? An untrue rumor begins, and it sweeps through a family, a church, an incomplete story, or miscommunication or misperception, or the jealousy of one that begins to sabotage another. And they both get caught up in it, and it gets infected. Every trivial problem holds the potential of becoming far more powerful than it should have been if we handle it incorrectly. Yet God's going to let us go through these because there's something He's going to build in the midst of it. He doesn't start with the big war against the Philistines. He's going to start with cuts and bruises in the desert from each other. And if we can't handle that, we're not ready for war. So he does that with the Israelites. He'll do that with us. But he gives us some great tips of God's home remedies here in 2 Corinthians. It's going to come up on the board, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And would you read it with me? Go. Therefore, we do not lose heart. For while our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Here it is. For momentary light affliction, say that again, for momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For what is seen is temporary, that which is unseen is eternal. Now remember, momentary light afflictions hold the potential of becoming something far more powerful than it was ordained to be in destroying a life or a family or a church. But also, momentary light affliction holds the potential that God can use to build an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. The choice is yours. Success is not determined by how many people stop throwing stones at you or how many are thrown. It's what you do with them. And that's the ingredients that God wants us to look at. Now, the words momentary light affliction, what's that? In other words, he's saying scrapes and cuts and bruises can develop quality character that we're going to need in the future. And if you don't learn it here, you won't be ready for that over there. So we'll all go through it, every single one. My daughter Abby, when she was younger, came home with some math homework, about 35 math problems, fractions. And I was pretty good in math, and she said, Dad, would you help me with this? So I said, well, sure, honey. And I noticed that it was adding fractions, like 1/2 + 1/4 equals. She said, well, Dad, how do you do that? I said, well, first of all, you've got to get a common denominator on the bottom here. So that 4, 1/4, this 2, 1/2, you've got to convert that to fourths. So then you have a common denominator. So I say, what's 1/2, honey? How many fourths is it? She said, 2/4. I said, yes. So 2/4 plus 1/4 is 3/4. Very good. Two of you got it. All right. That's good. Yeah. And so I said, so there's the answer, 3/4. She said, Dad, that's so cool. She said, try the second one right over here. So I said, well, this one's about the same, honey, but it's a little different. It's 1/3 plus 1/2 equals, well, you've got a third and a half, and you've got to get a common denominator that both of them are divisible by. So you've got 2 and 3, you multiply that, that's 6, so you put it into sixths. So 1/2 is how many sixths? 3/6, good. And 1/3 is how many sixths? 2/6, right. So 3 plus 2 is 5/6. So I said, there you go, that's how you do it. She says, Dad, you're a genius. You're an absolute genius. I said, well, thanks, but that's how you do it. She says, oh, Dad, you're so smart. Try the third one right over here. Well, by this time, I'm catching on. I looked at her. I said, I might be ugly, but I ain't stupid. I said, honey, you got to do this homework yourself. She says, oh, Dad, it's so painful, and it's so hard, and if I do it, it'll take me 10 times longer. If you did it, it would be 10 times shorter, and then I'll have more time to clean my room. And then I thought, you can grow up to be a mafia boss one day. You're so underhanded. So I said to her, oh, honey, sorry, but Dad loves you too much to do your homework for you. Even though it's going to take you longer, I'll guide you and help you, but you're going to need to learn how to solve these, because what you're going to learn with these small things is what the principles you're going to need for trigonometry or advanced math. If you don't get this, you won't have what it takes when it gets tougher. And the same thing is true in life. You and I will go through all kinds of cuts and scrapes in our marriages, in our families, in our churches. And wouldn't life be wonderful if God just removed those so that there's no problems in any families, no problems in the church? No, God says, you listen, I love you too much to do your homework for you. That I'll guide you and help you and give you my principles, and you'll solve it, though it might take you 10 times longer. You'll solve it, but when you have solved it, if you do it correctly with a good heart, I will add to you a boatload of wisdom to boot. That is what you're going to need. It's called an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. That's what I wanted you to have. And that's what you're going to need for tomorrow. So God is wise to ensure that He will encourage us, but He won't do our homework for us. So where do we start? Does God have any tips? Oh, He sure does. And it's going to be in the scripture we just read. So here's the first tip that God gives us. When you encounter cuts and bruises, here's the first thing. It's right in the same scripture, the first phrase. It says, therefore we do not what? Don't lose heart. Whatever you do, guard your heart. Because those little things that nag you are going to cause your heart to clog up if you're not careful. You see, what enters your head isn't what concerns God the most, is what you let enter your heart. When someone says, oh man, that's it, that really got to me. Ah, it didn't just enter your head, did it? It just entered your heart. In the Bible times, enemies would attack different cities, and they're usually walled cities. The reason is when they are attacked by marauding bands of raiders, the people can run into the city or the citadel, lock the gates, and hunker down. And the walls would be pretty impenetrable. So what the enemy would do is they would lay siege, S-E-I or S-I-E-G-E, lay siege, S-E-I-G-E, siege to the city, which means they would surround the city And if you want to stay in there, then you're going to stay in there forever. And they would set camp up around the city, just outside of the range of the archers. And they would set their camp and they just wait you out. And they can go get food, they can hunt game, but you can't. So when your supplies are done, you're done. And then they would move in a little bit and build a rock wall outside the city, just outside the range of the archers. And you thought David was the only one good with a sling? In those days, they would have something called the slingers. Or there would be 800 men good with a sling. And they would take the rocks, where in Israel the rocks were everywhere, and they'd go by this wall. They would have a pile of rocks all around the city. And here's what their goal was. They would start pelting. They would find out where the city square is, and they'd start throwing. 800 at a time would be throwing for 2 days. So thousands, literally 10,000 of these rocks would keep raining on, pelting on the city square. Why? Because they knew that in the middle of the city square would be the well. That's where people come to draw water from the well for their livelihood. And they would just start pelting that city square with rocks of this size because they knew that after 5,000 or 6,000 of these rocks, they would clog that well. And once they clogged the water source, soon the people would be coming out of that city because I'd have no water. Now I want you to know that the Bible talks about your heart like a well out of which you bring sustenance, a well out of which you bring peace or trust in God or your faith or your joy or your confidence. And the enemy, the adversary of our soul, wants to do exactly the same thing. He wants to clog your well. Or in other words, cause you to lose heart. That's why you just said, therefore, do not lose heart. You guard your heart because that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to clog your heart for the church. Clog your heart for your family. Clog your heart for your marriage. Clog your heart for your future. Clog your heart with us by stealing hope. And so then you give up. And you see, when they throw those rocks and it goes into that well, then they have met their goal. And the same thing is true with you. When you start to get criticism and condemnation and people start to paint you in a bad light in front of others, I want you to know that there's a rock coming in. There's an incoming. And that enemy wants to clog your heart. Now, if you deal with it poorly, you can dwell on it, you can get mad, you can get revengeful, you can even get retaliatory. But when that happens, the enemy has won because he's clogging your heart. Well, you say, well, Wayne, they come in a lot though. Yeah, here's something you got to do. And it sounds funny and it sounds practical, not very spiritual, but it's very important. It's found in Matthew 10. And it's going to come up on the board and it says this. Would you read it? Go. Whenever you go into a town, whoever will not receive your welcome or message, when you leave, here's what you do. Shake the dust off your... Yeah, when you see one of those incomings, you know what you and I have to learn? We got to shake it off, because the haters are going to hate. The blamers are going to blame. But we got to shake it off. And yeah, the sooner you do it, the better. We have to learn to do that. You see, our problem is we dwell on it too much. We think about it. We dwell on it. We analyze it. And by that time, it is so deep into us that it's toxified our wells. Sometimes when you leave the office in the afternoon because of the talk that goes around your office, and when you leave the office, you got to shake it off. Don't take it home. Then you toxify your home with that. There's slingers everywhere. There's slingers even in the church. But you have to recognize them and shake it off. Just leave it. I'm not going to take it home. Sometimes you leave your relative's house and you gotta shake it off.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Cuts and Bruises. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
God's going to take us a different route sometimes because he knows we're not ready for war. We're not ready for the big things if we are not able to handle cuts and bruises in our own homes.
For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.